Sharanam Ho. Sharanam Ho. Sharanam Namo. Hey.
Thank you, Primo. You coming back to India next year?
Yes, Yom Tim Hai.
Wow, you are so brave. Maybe I will too. If you go, I will go. How about that?
Same the other way around.
Yeah, maybe the other way around as well. Well, whoever comes to India next year, bring a lot of vitamin C. Oh, goodness. Om Shri Satche Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Paramatma Ki Jai, Guru Dev Bhagawan Ki Jai, Satchasanga Ki Jai. I will wait for you to see what we will do today. Where we will go. You will steer the satsang. Anyone ready? Yes, Michael.
Yeah, I want to share how we've been talking a lot about this. We never know when we're called back from life. And about the 10th of February, I had a major stroke in the heart. The main vessel was 100% blocked. And I have so many things to be grateful about. One thing is I live very close to the Park Lord of the Ambulances. So exactly 90 seconds after I called, they arrived. With a doctor and a lot of, and also I have rented a room. Miriam moved out and I have rented a room to someone who was not supposed to be there, but she was there so she could open the door. And then they transported me and they know exactly how to, what to do, all these paramedicines. So I was brought to the hospital and
they do know exactly what to do.
Yeah, they really do. And in a particular in this situation, because I just called and said, I had it, and then they knew what it was about. And when arriving at the hospital, they knew exactly what was wrong, and everything was settled in 1.5 hours.
Wonderful.
And, of course, I was very weak, but today I can manage visit Miriam. She lives at third floor, so I mean, but it shows how suddenly things happen.
Absolutely.
And also to me it shows how grateful I am, because I could just as well be dead. I mean, if it wasn't for those rapid arriving paramedicines, and there was one home here to open the door. I mean, all these so-called coincidences that are not coincidences, I'm very grateful for them.
We don't need to call them such.
Hmm?
We don't need to call them such. We don't need to call them coincidences when they're not coincidences.
No. I mean, it's everything that happens, happens. So, but I'm really grateful about, well, still being alive, to put it in that way.
And what a wonderful realization. And there's so many realizations. So what a wonderful realization that in a moment of real emergency for the question of your life, that you find gratitude.
Yeah. Yeah, I really do.
Yeah.
So, and I've been missing you so much. It's quite a long time since. And it's, you know, when I opened and Premo was there and you were there, it was just sometimes when I've been back away from something, the experience of joy when I meet it again is thousandfold doubled. And that's also, I guess, a human reaction, but I just wanted to say that I'm so happy being home again here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm glad you're fine.
Yeah.
But no matter what happens, we're fine, aren't we?
Yeah, it's teaching all of it.
Yeah. I mean, the great Nityananda of Ganesh Puri, he used to say, or he said once, I don't know if he used to say it often, and it is said that he said, that all that happens is by the will of God.
Yeah. Mm. So it's up to us if we take it as teaching or just walk without taking it as teaching. I mean, I was hit by a car 1.5 years ago when I was on bike and broke a lot of bones in my foot. And one of my friends said, what do you think universe is going to tell you here? And I realized, well, I'm 75. It's time to take a checkup at the whole body. So I spent 1.5 year with this, got new hearing devices, new glasses, new tools. So, you know, everything is updated now. And maybe that was the purpose, because I couldn't do anything else. So, I mean, it's all about if we take it as teachings or not. And that's, I mean, if I don't take a teaching home, then it arrives around the next corner and there's a little whoosh, higher volume at it. So I've learned to take teachings down.
That's right. That's right. Thank you. And I'm glad that you're fine.
Yeah. Mm. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you too.
I love you. I love you so much.
Love is everything.
Yeah.
Particularly when it's open and neutral and requires no neediness whatsoever or no desire to take it in rather than to give it out.
And there also is a very nice connection between love and that interdependence of all things.
Mm.
Because proves that all things is or are love.
Well, everything is interdependent. There's no question about it. If you look at it, you'll see that it's so.
Yeah.
Thank you. Namaste.
Namaste.
Max?
Namaste, Shantimai.
Namaste. Namaste, Gabriel.
Namaste, Shantimai.
Well, you mentioned some podcasts last week on satsang and about the eclipse coming up tomorrow and and the energetic opening it provides. And so I had other conversations following this week on that, and it seems like many people, at least the people I'm with, are really focusing on taking that opportunity and doing a step forward, or however you might call it. It's a bit difficult to really find the right words because everything is already, but still there is a chance to live it more fully, to incorporate it more fully.
And every moment is that possibility. Right. We don't absolutely need a solar eclipse to draw us together and give us the opportunity, but because we have it, we receive it.
Yeah, so one thing I found for myself when I was looking at what it could mean for me, I asked if what would be maybe in the way of living who I am and bringing it to the ground, to earth fully. And what I realized is that there was still some residue of an idea of postponing, like some residue of a thought that I'm not ready yet. And so that was what showed up. And
drop it.
Yes, I dropped it. I definitely did.
And don't even just let all of those ideas go, whether it is or it isn't. Actually, you have no idea.
Yes.
When you have no idea, you'll be a fortunate man. Yeah, you. How can you say, I am ready, I am not ready? Yeah. Things come. It's interesting because of Michael. He said things just happen, you know, they just come upon you. And I don't know if anyone knows their initiatory, so to speak, qualifications for anything. I always think of myself at square one, always. I'm at square one. I don't know where I am or where I'm going. That's interesting too, because in the Gita recently, did you enjoy the Gita recently, Gabrielle?
I did.
Yeah.
Part two is tricky. Yeah. Lot of numbers.
That's about, you know, in the Buddhist teachings of totality, which is an extraordinarily fine rendition of Buddhism. They talk about the one turning of the wheel of time, and they go through what I went through a little bit with all of the numbers, and they come out with one turning of the wheel of time is a number followed by 27 zeros. So it puts things in perspective. I really like that myself, to think of the grand total, not that we can come to a total, I'm not, but to expand beyond work and whatever we're doing in our day, just to open our awareness. Brahma's day, 311.04 trillion years.
Imaginable.
And a year of Earth time is one day, Brahma.
Yes.
It's just beautiful. It's like, I love the incomprehensibility. It is by far the place that, we say it poetically, where residing is simply extraordinary. And I really feel, Max, you're going to be ready for whatever's coming. Or whatever's present, let's put it that way, even better.
Yeah.
Or whatever's passing, even more accurate. Yeah.
Yes, and at times I find it useful to see if something gets in the way, and like what?
Tell me.
A thought that is.
There you go. There's your whole sadhana for the rest of your life, many lifetimes, just to eliminate unnecessary thinking and unnecessary. That would be about 90% of our thoughts.
Well, that's enough.
Yeah. If we were free of 90% of our thoughts, I'm using the royal hour and we, or whatever we would be thinking, so to speak, would be very clear. Whatever our reflections would be very, very, very clear and without a lot of riffraff around it.
Yeah.
Yeah, forget whether you're ready or not ready.
Okay. Thank you.
Recently, I had somebody write to me and very sincerely write to me and talk about how they were moving along to fix themselves. They didn't use the word fix themselves. I used that word. But it seemed to be something people who are, let's put it in quotations, spiritually ignited seem to want to do, rather than discover what they truly are at the root. They want to always fix themselves to be right with life. You're already right with life, right? No doubt about it. So I just wrote back and said, stop attempting to fix yourself and just live in love and see what those teachings bring you. Because it's huge. It's huge. And you'll find that love is not what you thought it was, and that you can't even think about what love is. So you only be it on earth. That's the way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Namaste.
Namaste, Shantima.
Ken Chui.
Namaste, Guruji.
Namaste.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm very well.
If you don't stop smiling so big, you always make my face go like that.
Oh, it only comes out naturally, Guruji. Yeah, especially when I see you. So
what is what did you raise your hand?
Yes, I was just considering the time we spend together. So what tends to happen is that whenever I've been in person with you, whether it's in France or elsewhere, and in India in particular, that I find that there is a certain deepening, settling in, so to speak, settling in, that lasts for a period of time. So this time, you know, when I came back, it's been about 5 weeks now that I've been back here. And there was a time when I was just totally not interested in the peripheral vision stuff. So just blocking out everything.
In the what? In the
peripheral,
what?
The peripheral vision. Peripheral. Yeah, anything in the peripheral vision was like, I'm not interested. I'm just centering in on myself. And it just happened naturally, actually. I just lost interest in anything and anyone outside of myself. I find that that kind of dissipates, and I then get more attracted again to what's happening outside. So I was reading the book about Ramana Maharishi as well, and some disciples asked him the same thing. Apparently they were saying that what tends to happen is that when I've been with you, Ramana Maharishi, I feel really like, you know, deepening and all that. When I'm away from you, then that is less so. And what is all this about, Guruji?
You know, it's again what Max brought up.
Mm-hmm.
There is, I know this story very well because mm-hmm. my time with Maharaji.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when you're away, for one thing, let's put it this way. The great T. Lopa said,
no war has been waged on distractions. Is that right? Is that the one?
Yes, yeah, so it's not exactly right, but mm-hmm. it's, you got it. You mm-hmm. got the. No war has been waged against distraction. Well, why is that? Mm-hmm. Because the unknowable, incomprehensible, inexhaustible, undefinable, unperishable totality is all there is. And when you see it like that, you know, we're reading the Bhagavad Gita, it seems like all the way through. And Krishna also said, you know, in the Gita, he says, when a person has realized their true nature, it doesn't matter what they do. Because why? Because they see experience are themselves, that totality, realize that totality. That's why I was saying to, I think it was to Max,
mm-hmm.
we want to fix the outside of ourselves, right? Our way in the world. But the real fact of the matter is, and I'm coming to what you have to say, the real fact of the matter is to discover what's already there and what's rooted, so to speak, poetically speaking, in the soul of existence, as even one does not define who you truly are. One is a great leap of understanding, but eventually you will even drop one. So when we're together, there is a certain Shakti. Mm-hmm. The Sangha also builds that Shakti around the master. And there's a master in every soul that's sitting in the assembly. There's no question about that. So sometimes it's very, very active and draws you deeply inward, and you do get this time to yourself. And it is an amplification, so to speak, of your spiritual journey. But then there is the utter subtle, on which you likely couldn't notice anyhow, such as the nadis, the 72 million nadis. This is also why I say to Max, it's really not accurate to know where you are. You can look behind yourself and see where you've been. And then you can, from there, you can gauge something. That's a fact. But to know where you are in the universal scheme of the deep realization of the truth within you is very, very difficult, except for, you know, you're on your way. You know you're digging in. And you know that what you're seeking is already present within everything and everyone. So sometimes when we're together, it's amplified. There's no question about it. It's amplified by the Ganges in India. It's amplified by the assembly, by the ashram, and by our relationship. And when you drift away from that particular hallmark in time, and presence, location, sometimes the workings are so subtle. Yeah. So subtle. And I like, again, we're going back to the Bhagavad Gita. I like very much what Krishna said in the Gita about the disinterested devotee. The disinterested devotee is one who's just in love with God. Dedicated, even, I don't know. I know the definitionlessness of what is called God. I can't even comprehend. So the disinterested devotee is in a constant love for what they may say, Krishna, Buddha, Jesus, God. However, their heart is exalted, but they're not worried about where they are in the process. They're not worried about if they're doing enough, because too much is never enough. You can never do enough, not by the mind, but enough is enough. Whatever it is, as long as you are according to many of the scriptures, as long as you are focused that your life is governed by the truth. Even you make mistakes, you can cuss at somebody, get angry with somebody, have a beer or whatever. Okay. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the communication in the heart that is so intimate that you cannot even tell anybody what it looks like or what it feels like or how you express that or how it is expressed to you. So subtle is that. And then you live your life. And when we make error, we're happy. I say errors are really good. They show us we're not to bother anymore. Mistake make better.
That's right.
Master says mistake make better. I agree. So we don't worry about those things. We just we just come back and reflect as to what our devotion and what our commitment is to, and be true to that in one's own way, in one's own intimate, loving way, which you cannot tell me how it is for you. Like tasting chocolate, you know, in India, they have an analogy, right? I can give you chocolate, but you can't tell me what it tastes like that I will taste it. So like that, subtle, subtle. And go ahead and live your life. And be truly dedicated to the degree that you are truly dedicated. I can say, I would encourage you to always, I have to be very careful. I say nothing. I think you know what I'm talking about. To put it into words, pretty much. You have a pathway, and it's before you and within you and all around you. And you know it better than anyone. I used to say my guru knows me better than I know myself. I feel that was true. Why? Because he knew himself. And as the fundamental truth, poetically speaking, within all, that appears to be. I feel that was true with Maharaji, that he knew me better than I knew myself. And yet there is this being that could never, ever translate what's going on inside, or I don't know. It gets sticky when we start using words in these kinds.
And as a follow-on, Guruji, to that question, so when one becomes self-realized, you know, I suppose it's a matter of once you see it, you can't unsee what you've seen or realized. And then is that the end of sadhana? Like, you don't have to act. I mean, it's not about...
Don't worry about any of
that. No, I don't know why.
And you'll never become enlightened. You already are enlightened. All beings are enlightened. All beings are always fully 1,000% what they are. You will realize what you truly are. You cannot become what you truly are.
You've said that before.
You discover what you who you truly are. Wonderful. I cannot say I have discovered anything about anything that can be defined whatsoever. I keep finding out that that whatever I've discovered can never be defined. You will too. That's why so intimate. So intimate is this. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Guruji. Namaste.
Namaste. Sharita.
Namaste, Shantimai.
Namaste, how are you?
Good, nice to see you.
You too.
I'd like to share about the part two of the eighth chapter of the Gita. I listened to it very early morning yesterday. And then I went to the market and buying vegetables. And there's a farmer there. And sometimes we get into conversation about the plants, the what's going on in his farm and things like that. And he brought up the solar eclipse. And so from last week, it was staying with me. And I also watched the video you mentioned. And so I told him just very briefly that there were many traditions that said this and that. And then he looked at me and he says, and you know, the Hindus say this is Kali Yuga now. And I said, yes. And then suddenly the transmission just came back from like the hour before. And I told him, yes. And I told him about the cycle you described and everything. And it was just such a very special moment because we were in the middle of the market. People were like, lots of noise, very much animation and everything. And we were really just transported to another space where it was the Gita, the universe, and just something bigger. And it was just very special.
that's what I love about the 1,000 Mahayuga day and the 1,000 Mahayuga night, and just taking into context what that would mean mathematically. And it's just explosive in terms of small stuff in a life. Yeah. And worry. Yeah, and all of those anxieties and all of this, not that they aren't, not that worry isn't there on occasion. I don't think it's worth entering ever. Anxiety, people get anxious and so like that. Now that they have a word for it, the illness is there. How useless it is in the scope of a 311.04 trillion years.
And the other thing is, oftentimes now I realize when something happens in the daily tasks or activities where this type of anxiety about something not going the way it was supposed, or it's not on time, or something like that. And many, many times now I just realize whether I just take a deep breath, I start to say a mantra or play the blessing.
What mantra do you start to say?
Most of the times it's whether Medicine Buddha or Gayatri, it depends.
And then other times, what are you saying?
Medicine Buddha.
Yeah, you said... You indicated that you're using more mantra than that. So what other mantras? Okay. Gayatri and Medicine Buddha.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Gayatri. Mm-hmm. Go and live in that place for a little while. Live in that house, that shining house. Mm. Where everything is already delivered to you and you need only to discover that that's true.
And sometimes when those things happen, I don't know why, but the image of you in the canning factory comes to me.
Mm-hmm.
I really, that stuck with me for years now.
Oh yeah, well, it stuck with me for years. The canning factory, for those who don't know, is where I had the grace of an incredible Satori that has always remained the governor of my life, I can put it that way. Mm-hmm. The canning factory where I worked. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What experiences I had there. So that I could get back to Maharaji in 6 months. Because nobody would hire me if I was only going to stay on for 6 months. So I went to a seasonal job. It was really good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love you. Thank you.
I love you too. Thank you. Dragana. Yes.
Hey, Shanti Mai.
Hey, Dragana. So that's a good thing. Go ahead.
Bring my foster mom into the Sangha. She passed away yesterday, and I would like to ask for a blessing on her transition.
Yes, yes. What's her name?
Marlies.
Molly what?
Marlies. Hustler. That's her name.
Marlies.
No, it's a she. Marlies Hustler is her name.
Okay. I knew it was a she because you said it was your foster mother. I thought that you were pronouncing the name in a different way. So tell me her name again, please.
Marlies.
Spell it for me, please.
Marlies.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for that. And her last name, please?
Hustler. It's Hassler.
Hustler. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'll put her name on our prayer list.
Thank you.
Yeah, we light a candle every night for the people who are on our prayer list. Mm-hmm. Their names get mentioned every evening. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Namaste. Michael O'Shea? Hi, Michael.
Namaste, Shanti Mai.
How are you?
Sorry, I just got a notice up here.
Are you better? Are you physically better?
Yeah. I am, yes. I'm probably not 100%, but... I've never had a virus last so long. It's been about a month.
And,
it's been quite something. But anyway, I'm 99%.
Good.
Yeah. And I'm so grateful for the support I got while I was there when I got ill, that tremendous support. It was wonderful.
I'm really glad about that. The Sangha is really good for helping each other. I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah. And I loved the conversation you had with Ken because he brought forward something I've been kind of feeling, but I wasn't really sure what it was. Is that idea that it was so wonderful being in India with you again after 4 years, and how much it amplified everything. And it was just, and you put it so well, like just, being with the Sangha, like being with you primarily, and being with the Sangha, and being with the music, and being with the Ganges, and getting sick and that aside. I mean, it amplified everything.
Yeah.
And I liked how you said, so we come back, I come back to Canada, we all come back to our homes and live our lives, And in kind of a different dispensation now, like I'm maybe a little bit more aware of my thoughts, and maybe I'm using the timeless meditations a little bit more.
Michael, be a lot more aware of your thoughts, not a little bit.
Yeah, it's so I mean, because I often think like, well, if someone said, what did you learn over there? It's like, all I know is I was enriched.
That's a really good point that you bring up. People used to think I was crazy to go sit with Maharaji, right? What is it? What is it there? And I said the exact same thing you say. My life is enriched by the presence of, this person in my heart and what occurs there. And I can't really say anything more. Mm-hmm. Except for, we're at the Ganges. The Ganges has been worshipped morning and evening for thousands and thousands of years with lights and songs from the Bay of Bengal to Gomukh, and that goes all the way across India every day. And little women, little sweet Indian women, tiny little people, compared to me, they are for sure. And they go to the Ganges with this light bowl. I when I walk down the Ganga, there's a very specific walk that they're in Rishikesh. It is wonderful. No motor scooters are allowed on it. There's no motors whatsoever. It goes all the way to Haridwar, and it's built beautifully above the Ganges. And every evening, there's these two little ladies who bring their light bowl to the Ganges, roll the lights around to the Mother River, and sing to her. What kind of energy have they built around her for all of these epochs, really? I mean, my God. And then the earth in India, you remember, is called Muni Ki Reddi, which means the Munis, the saints and sages, have walked and permeated this ground and blessed this ground. And I mean, we have such an incredible, and our assembly is beautiful, and the chanting is beautiful in the ashram. Mm-hmm. I'm extremely happy you were there with Margaret.
Mm. And along that line, I even think, when I think back, going into into different stores and that, and there's incense burning, and there's pictures of Krishna or pictures of Shiva, and walking along the street, and people are touching their hearts, it's all those things that are very enriching, I think.
Well, a very, very, very dear friend of mine has a shop there. He's probably one of the wealthiest people in the area. He used to not be wealthy at all, but his guru gave him a few gems, and he made a treasury out of it. And he's a saint. He's a Mahatma. There's no question about it. He's a real, true Mahatma, Anil. And great, great soul, you know. And I don't know. It's a gathering over many, many centuries of extremely wonderful people. And now, I mean, there's... When I was first there, no eggs, no beef, no meat. What else? No alcohol. Now you have it all. But it's still permeated with marvelous energy.
Yeah.
And when you're there, I say you contribute to that energy. Mm. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we bring it home with us too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course you do.
Yeah. But it's so wonderful to see you, Shanti Mai.
It's wonderful to see you too. And right now, in this moment, it's wonderful to see you. Give Margaret my love, okay?
I will. Namaste.
Namaste. Anna.
Namaste, Shanti Mai.
Namaste. How are you?
So good, thank you. How are you?
Fine. Almost always, even when I'm not, somehow I am. So, yeah.
That's beautiful. And I see that in you. I've seen so much grace in you. The first time I sat in Mandali, you were going through a very difficult moment. And the amount of grace with which you came through that and shared it with us was so moving that I had to come to India and sit in front of you again. And that was also mind-blowing. I'm a bit excited because this is the first time I talked to you directly, although you spoke to me several times and I really felt it, and it led to a lot of breakthroughs. So the question in my mind today, I started reading your book, In Our Hearts We Know.
Oh,
and
my.
The very first conversation that's transcribed there relates to something that I've been thinking about for a couple of days now. Or actually it came up in my also thoughts and readings and listening to the different spiritual material. So it's about this emptiness or void. I realize that no matter how much I want to get enlightened someday, and I go forward on my letting go of many things that I thought I would never, there's always this grasping of one's own identity, I guess, until there is not. And I realize I'm actually scared because at this point I have too much conceptual knowledge of what I think enlightenment is for my own good, I think. So there's this fear of this void or emptiness or whatever it is that one realizes that nothing's really real for what we perceive to be real. So I would like to ask you to expand on that, and in line with what you talked with Ken earlier, and you mentioned the Satori that you had in the factory, how was it for you to go to that same factory tomorrow day and do the everyday work and observe everything from that point?
Yeah, it's a very good question. I just, you know, I was wearing a hard hat. You know what a hard hat is?
No.
It's a hat that a construction person wears. Okay. And I was wearing blue rubber pants that had suspenders up to here. And I had big old yellow gloves on, and I had big old boots on. And I was at work, and I don't know how to describe anything about that, but I just clocked out. Time was done when the time was done. And I called a friend of mine, and I wanted to tell him, because he had walked this journey with me for a very long time, and I wanted to tell him about what had either occurred or not occurred. I didn't know how to speak about it, really, but we met in the restaurant, and I told him, I said, Camden, I had an experience. I had an enlightening experience. And he said, who do you think you are? And I thought God had just sent me an angel. I was so grateful that he confronted me immediately, because I didn't have to defend. I didn't have to explain. I wasn't offended. And it was just set in place, so to speak. So that was an angelic send for me, that he should punch me right in the nose immediately. I was very, very grateful for that. So, what was your first point?
That I'm a bit afraid of
that. Oh, forget
I also
it.
Crave.
Stop that. That's all.
Okay.
Don't. Forget. Afraid of what? How can you be afraid of what is fundamentally true? And you still have a life. And you still have a name, and you still have an identity, and you have a lovely mustard-colored chair that you're sitting in, and you have a beautiful face, and you're going to live through this life, and you're going to live through this life as a seer, because you have no fear to see what is true, and you're still going to live your life. You're still going to live your life. I would say, always be willing to dig a little deeper. And maybe it even simply means to love more. I don't like the word more. I don't like it. It always has a connotation of something's not enough, you know? Find the simple glory of love in your heart until you have no way to define how it guides your life, how it governs you every minute of every day, even when it is certainly not what you think it is. That's a lucky part. And you absolutely don't need it, although all things need it, but not in the sense of neediness. And you are so permeated. And the word is, it's a guideline only. But one who comes to realize is a giver and is willing for the service to serve, whatever that means to you. And God, whatever that means to you, is central to your breath and your heartbeat. And you remind yourself of that quite often. Guide me through love. Show me what love is. Show me how to be that which I truly am. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. No fear, no worry.
I love you, Shanti Mai.
Now get rid of that. No need. I'll see you at Mandalay again in the
Absolutely.
See you in Italy. I love Italy. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay, so Tara.
Wow. Namaste, Shanti Mai.
Wow, Tara, namaste.
I started to get so nervous. I mean, that's really strange.
It is. You're not the nervous type. Go ahead.
I discovered in this moment not to talk is not a lie. A lie is not the right word, but it's not the same like stillness or listening. So
talking is talking and listening is listening. Of course, it's not the same.
Yes.
That down perfectly. Perfect. There.
Yes.
You can talk, you can listen, you can do whatever is required. Be careful not to think that one thing is terrible and another thing is. You cease to alleviate anything from your life and live in love. Mm. You'll listen in love. You'll speak in love. The trees behind you are framing your face in love. The color of your scarf is framing your face in love. Everything is that, and it's not very romantic. And it's not very cushy, and it's very challenging.
Yes.
Very beautiful. Are you done with me?
No, never.
Don't say that. People say that all the time and fly away.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I had the experience that I'm irritated with people. That was one time in my life, of course. And then I was irritated with myself.
Hold on, I'm going to come in there. Is it honest? Yeah. Are people irritated?
Yes, irritated by people, yes.
Yeah, that's okay then.
And that's just one window that I'm watching through. And the other is being irritated with myself on my own. And now it's changing. I feel comfortable with myself, being with people. They are irritated and everybody is okay. I mean, I enjoy the atmosphere. It's such a release. Thank you.
You know, being irritated with people who are irritating is much more honest than acting like you're not. Yeah. And irritated with yourself because you're irritating to yourself. Okay. Okay. So what? Just leave those experiences as soon as you can. That's all. You don't have to, extend them through your day or your life. You don't have to even remember them. Better just forget it. Let everything be whatever it is. God bless everyone. And that's a good thing, is that you can turn around and just offer a blessing to whoever irritates you. Durga and I had this experience about 2 weeks ago where there was something, I don't know what, but we were at a grocery store and a health food store, whatever you want to call it. And there were two people who were strangely maybe affected by our presence or something. I couldn't quite figure out what was going on with them. They just, I don't absolutely understand what happened. And I was really irritated with them because what's happening? And when I wanted to know what's happening or why it was like that, they became more irritating. Mm-hmm. And I was irritating them as well. And then something happened. I don't know. We just left. And I closed my eyes and just God bless them for whatever. I have no idea. I don't need an idea. I simply say in my heart, God bless you and love. And it made me be at peace with them. And I don't know if it made them be at peace. I don't know where that went. But my heart was fine with the experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe they gave me the opportunity to have that moment.
Oh.
You know, you never know. You never know. So always turn back and pulse a little. Loving, and I mean really loving. I mean neutral, open, spacious love back and give them a little light who irritates you and yourself as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Namaste, everyone.
Namaste.
I'm going to look through the gallery again while Premo's singing. Always good to be with you, always. And wait a minute, I want to get your mother and your stepmother's name printed so I can, I want you to please tell me again what her name is. Spell it for me. Do you remember the spelling, Nenj? Okay, never mind.
She has sent it.
Go ahead.
Shall I write it to you on Skype so you have it in front of you?
Spell it right now.
M-A-R. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Dragana.
It's M-A-R-L-I-E-S. Last name.
H-E-S-S.
H-A.
H-A-S-S.
Yes.
Got it. L-E-R. Okay.
Thank you.
L-E-R.
E-R on the end. Okay. Well, we have it.
Thank you.
So I will write the name this evening when I light the candle. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. Oh, yes. I have to clear something up because somebody wrote to me this week and told me I made an error, and I almost always make an error about Easter. They said that I used the word ascension, and it was not the ascension. It was the, what is it?
Resurrection.
It was the resurrection of Christ, that's right, where he went and spoke to the disciples, to the apostles. And that the ascension is going to occur 40 days after the resurrection. Yeah. So I don't know the Easter story very well. I don't know the Jesus story very well. My guru didn't know the Jesus story very well either. We all laugh now because on Easter, we were never there at Easter. At Christmas, he used to come out. He was so innocent and so beautiful. I'm not that innocent. If I make an error, it's because I don't know. He made an error. It was because he didn't know in some more innocent and marvelous way. So at Christmas time, he would inevitably come out and say, and Jesus hung on the cross. And I'd say, Maharaji, this is the day he was born. Every year we went through that. And Jesus hung on the cross. I said, Maharaji, this is his birth time. He never listened to me ever about that. He was wonderful. He's still wonderful. There he is in the corner, right there. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Thank you very much. I love being with you. I'm very grateful to know you in my life. I feel my life is incredibly blessed by the people who surround me. Namaste.
Shri Krishna Govinda Hare Murari Narayana He Nath Narayana Vasudeva He Nath Narayana Vasudeva He Nath Narayana Vasudeva Shri Krishna Govinda Hare Murari Narayana He Nath Narayana Vasudeva He Nath Narayana Vasudeva He Nath Narayana Vasudeva Shri Krishna Govinda Hare Murari Narayana He Nath Narayana Vasudeva He Nath Narayana Vasudeva He Nath Narayana Vasudeva Krishna Govinda Hare Murari Narayana He Nath Narayana Vasudeva He Nath Narayana Vasudeva He Nath Narayana Vasudeva Shri Krishna Govinda Hare Murari Narayana He Nath Narayana Vasudeva He Nath Narayana Vasudeva He Nath Narayana Vasudeva Shri Krishna Govinda Hare Murari Narayana He Nath Narayana Vasudeva He Nath Narayana Vasudeva He Nath Narayana Vasudeva Shri Krishna Govinda Hare Murari Narayana He Nath Narayana Vasudeva Deva. He Nat Narayana Vasudeva. He Nat Narayana Vasudeva. Shri Krishna Govinda Hare Murari Narayana. He Nat Narayana Vasudeva. He Nat Narayana Vasudeva. He Nat Narayana Vasudeva. Shri Krishna Govinda Murari Narayana. He Nat Narayana Vasudeva. He Nat Narayana Vasudeva. He Nat Narayana.